In the 12th and final part of the 2022 Canes opponent preview series, I preview the Pitt Panthers, our opponent at Hard Rock Stadium, to close the regular season on November 26th. Well, let's take a look at Pittsburgh. They got better pretty quick, and they were fine under Narduzzi. They got the bowl games, they had some nice moments, but over the first six seasons, they were just 42-34. The lone bowl victory came against an overmatched Eastern Michigan team in Detroit in 2019. Then all of a sudden, everything started to click. And a catch a break that Clemson had a down year. Last year was the chance for everyone in the ACC to rise up and be that star. And it was Pitt, not Carolina, not FSU, not us, and not NC State that won the ACC title. Now, can they be part of that three-team club, along with Clemson and FSU, that won an ACC title since 2010. Pitt can say that now. But even more impressive, it's been in two of the last four ACC title games. They've shown it belongs there. Now, it might not be the team of last year, but it's still going to be rock solid. They have all the talent. The schedule works out. No Clemson until Charlotte, if they get there. Okay, let's be honest. On offense, it's not going to be easy to replace a first-round pick in Kenny Pickett, who's now crossed down with the Steelers, and Jordan Addison's off to SC. But they have a new offensive coordinator, Frank Cignetti, and they'll keep the passing game going now that Mark Whipple's now in Lincoln. Now, their offense finished 8th overall last year, and in passing was 3rd in scoring. Was able to absolutely go mad bombers game after game until Michigan State in the bowl game when Pickett shot out. Listen, the stars are going to need to be replaced, but no one will say it too loudly. But some have argued Keenan Slovis might be a better and more talented player than Pickett was. Listen, that's not to say he's going to come up with the same production. Pickett grew into somebody that can make great decisions and can hit the big play down the field. But it was lost on the narrative that was a massive fifth-year jump. That's not to downgrade Pickett in any way. He was and is great. But he didn't throw for more than 13 touchdown passes in any of his first 4 years. Then came 42 last year. Listen, at SC, Slovis threw 30 TD passes as a freshman and 17 touchdown passes in the COVID year of 2020 in 6 games. And then the mess SC was last year. The quarterback situation will be okay. They have a more than capable backup in Nick Patty, who will push hard in fall camp. But let's be honest, you're not going to easily replace the 100 catch and 17 TDs that Addison brought you. But they have Jarrett Wayne, who's a big play target, and caught 47 passes for 658 yards and 6 touchdowns last year. And they have Kawana Mumfield on the way, who's a transfer from Akron that comes in. He had 63 catches, 8 touchdowns last year, and they get Bartholomew back at tight end, and that's a big deal. It's going to work with everyone doing their time to do the thing because all 5 starters are back on the offensive line. And 3 of those are all stars. And they have a few prospects that could play on the next level on Sundays. Carter Warren at left tackle is the best of that group. But that entire line should now become one of their biggest strengths. They have the depth at running back with the trio of Izzy and Vanicata, Vincent Davis, and Rodney Hammond. They should go combined for 1,500 yards and 20 TDs again. Let's look at their defense. We know that pass rush will be dominant again with a line that lives in the backfield. Yes, the secondary will give up big plays, and the corners could go sink or they could swim. And it'll somehow work out just fine. But it all comes to that pass rush and that D-line is going to be a terror again. They finished second in the nation in sacks and fifth in Tar Heels for loss. They have a second-team All-ACC D-end in Maldonado, who led the team with 9 sacks. They have a first-team All-ACC D-tackle in Kalijah Kansi, who was second on the team with 7 sacks. You have those two combining for 25 tackles for loss, and everything else feeds off them. They have good linebacker playing, they'll be a force as well, but they have some work to do there. They bring back their leading tackler, Cervantia Dennis, who can be one of the best playmakers all around. And he has new starters, though, and has a Notre Dame transfer in Shane Simon filling in those gaps. The secondary is nothing to write home about. They allowed 264 yards a game last year, and it'll be torched again. But then again, they'll have the big plays also. That's a defense that picked off 16 balls last year. And Brandon Hill was second on the team with 79 tackles. And he's back with one of the safety spots along with Eric Hallett, who had 72 tackles and 3 picks. And he had 9 passes that he broke up. Marquise Williams and A.J. Woods are veteran corners that can contribute very nicely in that secondary. Now let's take a look at the next thing with Pittsburgh, and that is the offense key. Simple. They have a very good running game. Use it. In 3 of the losses last year, it came on the team's 4 worst rushing performances of the season. Look, we know with Pickett, they had the passing attack, and the fun can keep going with Slovis there. But people forget, they had a very strong ground game a couple years ago with Quadri Allison and Darren Hall getting combined 2,300 yards and 21 touchdowns back in 2018. Now, while the running game won't be that caliber, they have those 3 backs should be able to really balance out a good offense. And at the very least, get that offense to average more than 4 yards a carry. The key to the defense, don't allow the big TD passes. Don't allow multiple touchdown passes a game. In other words, more than 2. Over the last 3 years, Pitt is 1-9 when they give up more than 2 touchdown passes. Listen, you're going to give up a lot of passing yards if you're on defense. QBs are going to hit big plays. And each opponent that plays the Pitt defense is going to have 200 passing yards. And they'll have the deep throw, the deep ball there. But there's a difference between struggling in the pass defense and not being able to control it. Here's a question for you. How did Pitt lose to Western Michigan? Their quarterback for Western Michigan at the time, Caleb Elby, seemed to hit every pass. And that Panther defense gave up 357 yards and 3 TDs. How did we beat Pittsburgh? Well, we averaged 10 yards a throw, and we had 400, and TVD had 426 yards and 3 TDs. And then there's the Michigan State meltdown in Atlanta. They allowed 354 yards and 3 touchdowns. See a trend here? When the pass defense allows 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, they lost. And that happened only 1 other time. And that was when they beat Virginia. The key player for them is Kawana Mumfield. Now, Akron might have been god-awful last year, but the passing game for them worked. And they had a 61 freshman wide receiver who averaged 12 yards per catch and had 63 for 751 and 8 touchdowns. Now listen, he's not going to be Jordan Addison. Very few are. But even if he can get, I'd say, a third to about half of the production Addison brought to them, he could be a good number 2 behind next to Wayne. Passing game will be fine. But it's not as large in the portal as getting Slovis. Listen, Kenny Pickett threw 39 touchdown passes in 4 years at Pittsburgh before last year. Slovis threw 58 in just 27 games at SC. Of course, we all know what Pickett did last year. But Slovis is more accurate than Pickett was. And he's even better on the deep throw. Okay? The talent's there to be more than a capable replacement for Pickett. Look, he's not going to throw 42 passes, but he's going to make the offense just fine. Key game to the season. Okay, Tennessee, September 10th. Okay. How much of a player are you going to beat Pittsburgh? Yes, you're going to have plenty of ACC games to deal with. Of course, our game's at November 26th at Hard Rock to close the regular season. That'll probably be their game of the year. But if it's any good, it has to win the backyard brawl to start the season against West Virginia. Then comes Tennessee a week later. Think about it. Those two combined for close to 800 yards of total offense and 75 points in the 41-34 win last year. And it set the tone for the rest of the year. At least it did until losing to Western Michigan the next week. This is going to be the moment to see how good Pitt is on a national scale. Win, and it's game on from there. Here's a little fun stat. In the second quarter last year, Pitt outscored their opponents 218-75. Pittsburgh had 54 sacks for 406 yards. Their opponents had 34 for 257 yards. Fourth down conversions, I don't take too much stock in, but in case you want to know, Pitt was 68% on fourth downs, 17-25. Opponents were just 27%, 7-26. And to finish up, why can't Pitt do it again? Why can't it be better than 11-3 last year when it won the ACC title? Now listen, you're not going to replace the production Pickett and Addison brought you, but they still have a lot of returning starters back. They have a strong kicking game, and they're not going to change. Narduzzi's not changing that style. Oh, listen, it's not going to be the pass-happy offense it was last year. But the defense will still be very good getting into the backfield. They have an experienced offensive line. And getting Keon Slovis to replace Pickett might be the move people don't talk about much, but it will be an effective one. Now, the total wins is 8. Question for you. Do you think they can win at home and beat West Virginia, Tennessee, and Votek? If it can, this could be another special year. Considering when you have no Clemson, when you have no NC State, and those are two of the best teams in the league. I'll throw us in there, too, as a third. Look, there's no Notre Dame on the schedule, and they don't get FSU, and they don't get Wake. If people say it's not a bad thing, here's the problem with that, though. In the second half of the season, 4 of the final 6 are on the road. The only 2 home games they have in that slate are Syracuse November 5 in their rivalry game and November 19th Duke to close out the home portion of the schedule. Let's say they win their big share of games. They come up with a few big wins on the road. They'll be in that title hunt until the end. If I look at that schedule, that back end, I got to think if they win those first 2 games, they can win maybe 9. So to be honest, I'm going to say reality, I think they're going to go 9-3 in 2022. Well, I want to take this time to thank all of you for watching this 12-part opponent preview series again. I enjoyed doing it. And let's do this again down the road when the season starts, when I will have my regular scheduled podcast. Our podcast will be pregame Thursday, Friday. This is no Thursday nights this year. And then the wrap up on Sundays. As you do a game wrap up, that's usually up around that time. So I look forward to that. And go Canes. Let's have another successful season. Year 1 of the Mario Cristobal era has begun. Go Canes.